How about this one? There you go. Thank you to the ladies for helping me sing. I really appreciate them. It's been a difficult transition for me, and they've just jumped right in and really helped out so much. I can't say enough about them, and a thank you to them. I also want to take this opportunity to say thank you for everybody that supported my family over the Christmas holidays. We received so many wonderful cards and encouraging notes and goodies. There was a lot of goodies that we were given. Really appreciate those. Some of you gave gifts of money, and your love and support, your generosity just overwhelms us, and we just feel so loved by each and every one of you, and want you to know that we love you guys, and we just really appreciate this church family and your love and support of us. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart. Thank you. Appreciate you. Thank you. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to bring another Christmas message this morning. As of Wednesday, I was going to preach something else. And I was just preparing and praying and just really felt led to bring this message this morning. And so I am, out of obedience, and I just trust that there's somebody here that needs to hear it. And hopefully it speaks to your heart this morning. How many of you like to go camping? Like, you really enjoy going camping. I'll even count, like, if you have a camper, you like to go camping. All right, good. Good, I got a good crowd this morning. How many of you hate camping? You despise camping. You can't stand camping. You know, I don't get you people. I don't understand. I don't understand how you don't enjoy camping. Camping's an adventure. And think about all of the things that you miss out on if you don't go camping. Your life is pretty dull and boring if you don't ever go camping. Some of my favorite stories are stories that happened when we were camping. Seriously, some of the best stories that I like to share are some camping stories. So if you don't mind, I'd like to share a few of them with you this morning. My family loves camping. We still actually have a tent. We're one of the few people that still go camping in a tent. And so I have some of my favorite camping stories that I'd like to share. One of my favorite stories was when I was a teenager, and my grandparents actually took me camping, and we went up to Lake Owen. And my grandpa had a boat then, and so we took the boat way out on the lake fishing. And I happened to catch a bass, which was a lot of fun. It was probably the biggest bass I have ever caught. And we decided to head back to the campground, and the boat broke down. And I don't know how far out we were. It felt like miles that we were out there, okay? It was a long ways out. And so Grandpa had a trolling motor that he stuck in the water, and we're just putzing back to the campground. And I didn't think we'd ever make it back. But we did. We got back, and it was getting late. It was getting dark. And Grandma's like, I'm not frying up the fish tonight. We'll just wait till tomorrow. So Grandpa put the fish in a bucket of water, and he put it outside of our tent. And during the night, we're sleeping, and all of a sudden we hear the splashing. And the fish is just going crazy in this bucket, splashing. Thought it was going to jump out of the bucket. And we look out there, and here's this raccoon. And it's got its paw in the bucket trying to get my fish. So Grandpa yells at the raccoon, and it takes off into the woods. We lay back down to go to sleep. A little bit later, the fish is going crazy, splashing in the bucket, and the raccoon's back, and Grandpa yelled at it. He wanted to shoot it with his Glock, but Grandma wouldn't let him. She's like, you can't shoot an animal in a campground. I don't think we got hardly any sleep that night, but the next morning, Grandma fried up that fish, and it was the best fish I think I've ever eaten. She can cook a really good fish. Another favorite story that I have when we went camping was actually with the Hawkins family, Matt and Kathy Hawkins. We went to this campground that we had never been to before. Come to think of it, we've never been back there since either. But we were sleeping in the middle of the night, and we heard a whole lot of noise coming outside. There was heavy panting, grunting, snorting. That might have been me. I'm not sure. But there was garbage cans getting knocked over. There was all kinds of racket. And all of a sudden, I hear Matt yelling from the other tent, "Hey, get out of here!" And he's clapping and banging stuff together. And Brittany said, "Are they okay? Can you see them?" So I cracked open the window and I looked out there, and there's a bear out there. And this bear has got all the garbage cans knocked over. He's tearing into all the food, trying to get into our food. And I see this bear, and I said, "Yep, they're fine. Go back to sleep." Well, the next morning, they were telling us that the bear was actually rubbing up against their tent, and they were afraid it was going to sit on one of the kids. But my ultimate favorite camping story has to be the time that we finally talked my mom into going camping. For those of you who know my mom, she does not like to go camping. She hates it. And she always told us that whenever I go camping, bad things happen. And so we tried to convince her and say, it's not like that. You know, bad things don't happen just because of one person. You know, it's great family bonding time and an adventure. So we finally talk her into going camping, and we're driving into this campground that we've never been to again since. And as we're driving in, there's these signs posted all over that say, "Warning, you are entering a flash flood zone. If it starts to rain, seek high ground immediately." So Mom is starting to look a little concerned as we're driving in, and we're like, "Don't worry, Mom. They just have to do that to protect themselves legally, and it's not even supposed to rain tonight." It didn't rain. It poured. I don't even know if we got the tents fully set up yet, and it started to pour and pour. And so we had two tents. We have a large family, and we're in our tents. I think we're trying to make some food, and we discovered something. The tents leaked. And, I mean, we might not have had a rain fly on. It's just pouring in rain. And then we discovered something else. The tents also held water. How in the world is it possible for a tent to let in so much water and not let it out? I don't know. I think that when we woke up in the morning, our air mattresses were floating on the water. We were wet, we were cold, we were miserable. And I think we told Mom, "This is all your fault." This never happens. See, look at all the adventure you people miss out on when you don't go camping. Some of the greatest stories are camping stories. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34. Ezekiel 34 is going to be our main passage this morning. I encourage you to stay there. I'm going to jump around and pull verses from other places. But we're going to refer to this passage throughout the rest of the message. And like I said, this is a Christmas message. And this passage in Ezekiel is a prophecy about the coming Messiah, about the coming Savior of the world, and it refers to him as a shepherd. So Ezekiel chapter 34, beginning with verse 11. Says, "For thus says the Lord God, I will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So I will seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places where they have been scattered in a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel their grazing ground shall be. There they shall lie on good grazing ground, and in a rich pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock and will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which was driven away, and bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Now skip down with me, if you would, to verse 23. Same chapter, Ezekiel 34, verse 23. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them himself and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will make with them a covenant of peace and will cause the wild beast to cease from the land, so that they dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Dwell in the wilderness, sleep in the woods. That's camping. And God promises that if you go camping, he will protect you from all the wild animals like raccoons and bears. In all seriousness this morning, I'd like to talk to you about the Christmas shepherd. Every year when we approach Christmas, I think about the Christmas story, and I think about how incredible it is that shepherds were the first ones to come see baby Jesus. Shepherds, the outcasts of society, the people that are kind of homeless, that are camping out in the woods, out in the fields, they're the ones that get to come see baby Jesus. Not some kings, not the mayor of Bethlehem, not the religious leaders, not even the high priest, but shepherds. But yet how fitting it is that shepherds came to see baby Jesus, because he came to earth to be a shepherd. Some shepherds came to welcome the true shepherd into the world. Because that is really the whole life and ministry of Jesus, was spent being a shepherd and continues to this day of him being a shepherd. In Matthew 2, verse 6, it says, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no longer least among the princes of Judah, for out of you shall come a governor who will," what? "Shepherd my people Israel." Jesus came to earth to be a shepherd. And he is the true Christmas shepherd. And this prophecy in Ezekiel is an amazing prophecy about the coming Messiah, the Savior of the world. And as we read through it, it talks about the duties of a shepherd. And it talks about what a shepherd has to do for his sheep. And so I'd like to go through that kind of job description of a shepherd this morning and look and compare to how Jesus is the shepherd and how he is our shepherd yet today. And the first thing a shepherd does is he searches for his sheep. That's what a good shepherd does. He goes and looks and searches for his sheep. The first two verses we read in Ezekiel 34, verses 11 and 12, "For thus says the Lord God, I will search for my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he's among the sheep that are scattered. So I will seek out my sheep, and I will deliver them out of the places where they've been scattered." Notice it says that he will search and seek them out. I did a little word study on that. That word "search" literally means to pursue. It means to chase after. Just like a shepherd chases after the sheep that wander away. The sheep wander off. And a shepherd doesn't just let them go. He goes after them. He chases after them. The word "seek" means to care for, to search, to look for. So he chases after his sheep out of care for them, out of concern for them. I think of the story of Adam and Eve in the garden. After they disobeyed God, God told them, "Don't eat of the one tree." And they did. And immediately their guilt and their shame caused them to do something. What did they do? They hid themselves from God. That is what sin causes us to do. When we sin, it causes us to hide from God, to wander away from him. But what did God do? He chased after them. He went looking for them like a shepherd goes looking for his sheep. He walked through the garden to find them. Jesus tells us in Luke 19:10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." He's flat out telling them, "I'm here to find my lost sheep. I'm here to search for them, to look for them, to chase after them, and to pursue them." And here's the great thing. Jesus never stops pursuing. He never stops chasing after the lost. Those who are lost, he never gives up. He never gets to the point where he thinks a sheep is too far lost. or too far gone that he can't chase them anymore. He's always pursuing and always chasing after the lost. Are you lost this morning? Some of you might be here today feeling a little lost. Maybe you're not lost in the sense that you're not a believer. But sometimes we can get lost a little bit spiritually. And sometimes we can get a little confused when it comes to faith. We've got Christians on one hand telling us things are one way. We've got Christians on another hand telling us things are different. And sometimes when we get into all the different things that we can get confused. And sometimes we don't know what to believe. Sometimes we can get ourselves a little lost. And you know what? That's okay. Because Jesus knows where you are. He's always chasing after you. We're sheep. We wander. We do that from time to time. And that's why Jesus is always searching and always seeking. And Jesus in Luke 19 gives us the beautiful parable of the shepherd that has 100 sheep. And if he says, what man among you having 100 sheep and losing one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he places it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Then when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Likewise, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 men who need no repentance. Jesus is always searching for the lost. The second thing that a shepherd does is he summons his sheep. We read it in the first part of 13 there. I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. So this language of bringing them out from where they are carries with it the idea of calling them out. He calls to them from where they are. Sometimes the sheep can get mixed in with other sheep and other flocks. And so the shepherd would call to them and they would recognize his voice and they would come out from the flocks that they were with and come join the shepherd. I want you to know that Jesus not only goes chasing after people, but he's also calling that to them. He's always summoning them. He tells us, well, first of all, he summons us to join his sheepfold. First and foremost, Jesus is calling people to join his family, to be his disciples. Jesus tells us in John 10:3, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. I love it, that fact that it says that he calls them by name. Not just he knows your name, but literally what it means is he knows who you are. He knows everything about you. He knows your tendencies. He knows your strengths. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your thoughts, your feelings, everything about you. And he still calls you his own. He also summons you when you stray. Sometimes, like sheep, we wander, we stray, and not only does he go chasing after you, but he's also calling out for you to return. Again, I think of the story of Adam and Eve in the garden after they disobeyed God. They went and hid themselves. God went looking for them. He went chasing after them, and he was calling to them. It says in Genesis 3, verses 8 and 9, then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. The Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? Did you notice? The Lord God was walking in the garden. He's chasing after them, and then he's calling to them, summoning them to return to him. I'm so thankful that when I stray, Jesus doesn't just give up on me. That he doesn't get frustrated and think, oh man, Josh wandered off again. That's the third time this month. No, he chases after me. He doesn't just let you go. He chases after you, and he's always calling you to return, to come back. He also summons us to service. The reason Jesus wants us to be a part of his family and part of his sheepfold is so that we can make other disciples as well, so that we can find a place of ministry in in service to him, as part of his family, in order to build his kingdom. Jesus tells us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the first part of service that all of us are called to. If you're a disciple of Christ, you are called to be a testimony and to be a witness to other people. The third thing a shepherd does for his sheep is he supplies for them. He supplies for his sheep. We read in verses 13 through 15 in our passage how the shepherd will feed them good grazing ground. He'll bring them to good pasture. They shall lie down on good grazing ground in rich pasture. And he will supply food for them. He'll also supply a place of rest for them by causing them to lie down. So a good shepherd is going to supply all the needs for his sheep, right? He brings them to places where there's plenty of food, there's plenty of grass to eat, where there's water to drink, calm water, because sheep get easily frightened by fast-moving water, so they'd find calm streams with plenty of water for the sheep to drink and places for them to rest. They'd find places where the grass was extra thick, so they could lay down on their double-topped mattress and take a nap. So a shepherd provides all the needs for his sheep. The New Testament tells us in Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus is our shepherd, supplies all of our needs. According to his riches and glory. Think about that for a moment. How rich is God? He's pretty rich, right? There's a guy by the name of Jeff Bezos. He's now the richest man in the world. He is the guy that came up with Amazon. And his estimated worth is $112 billion. Right, that's a number that we really can't even wrap our mind around. $112 billion. He passed up Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft, whose estimated worth is $90 billion. Think about that. Between those two guys, they have $200 billion between them. That is an insane amount of money. But yet, think about this. Those guys are penniless compared to God. And they're bankrupt compared to the riches that God has. He has unlimited wealth, unlimited treasure. And it's out of the abundance of his wealth and out of the abundance of his treasure that he provides for our needs. As I've been praying recently for God to provide for our family, start to think that way. It's nothing for God to provide the little that I need to make it through the day when he has got all the wealth that was beyond our imagination. So what need do you have today? Do you have a need? I encourage you to come to the shepherd because he does supply every need that we have through Christ Jesus our Lord. The fourth thing that a shepherd does for his sheep is he soothes their wounds. He soothes their wounds. In verse 16 it says, I will seek that which was lost and bring back that which was driven away and bind up that which was broken, and I will strengthen that which was sick. So a shepherd also has to be a veterinarian. He has to tend to the wounds of his sheep. When they're out in no man's land, he can't just take them to an emergency vet if one of them gets hurt. He's got to doctor them himself. And so he tends to the wounds of his sheep. He wraps up the broken limbs, maybe puts a splint on it. He puts ointment and salve on the cuts and the scrapes. Maybe he carries a little lamb upon his shoulders that is too injured or too weak, too sick to walk, and he nurses them back to health. I want you to know that Jesus is our shepherd, tends to our wounds as well. He cares about our injuries. He cares about our hurts. He cares about our bodies. And he wants to bring healing to our bodies. 1 Peter 2:24 tells us, by his wounds you were healed. He's echoing the prophet Isaiah, who says that same exact thing. By his wounds, we are healed. He cares about our physical body. And part of the reason Jesus died on the cross was to bring healing to our bodies. But it's also more than that. You know that Jesus also cares about your feelings, too? He also cares about your emotional needs. He cares about your mental health. He cares about your spiritual health. And he cares about our emotional hurts as well. Isaiah 53 and verse 4 tells us, "Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrow." And then in chapter 61, another prophecy about Jesus, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to comfort all who mourn, to preserve those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I don't think that verse can make it any more clear that a huge part of the reason why Jesus came to earth was to heal our emotional hurts. He cares about the brokenhearted. Your heart's been broken this morning. Maybe somebody said something really hurtful to you over the Christmas season. Maybe somebody said something really hurtful to you years ago, and it still hurts. It still pierces to your heart, and it feels like your heart has been broken. I want you to know that your shepherd cares. He does care. He cares about the brokenhearted. He came to comfort those who mourn. Sometimes we go through periods of mourning. Sometimes we go through just periods of sadness and sorrow. A huge part of the reason why Jesus came was to be a shepherd, to lift our spirits, and to care and to heal and to soothe our emotional hurts and our emotional wounds. So are you hurt this morning? Are you in need of some type of healing, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally? Come to the shepherd. He wants to tend to the wounds and soothe the wounds of his sheep. The fifth thing that a shepherd does is he shelters his sheep. He shelters them. He provides places of protection and safety for them. In verse 25, it says, "I will make with them a covenant of peace and will cause the wild beasts to cease from the land so that they will dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods." A shepherd finds places that are safe, and he will do what he can to protect the sheep from wild animals. In John chapter 10, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's explaining to them how he is a good shepherd, how he's the shepherd, and he gives them this illustration. He says, "Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." And then in verse 9, "I am the door." So what Jesus is talking about is a very common thing that shepherds would do in his day. They would build a pen for the sheep to come sleep in for the night. And they would make these walls out of very sharp thorns and branches and sticks. And they would make a circle or four walls. And they would leave an opening in the wall for the sheep to come in and out. And at night, the sheep would come into this pen to sleep. And the shepherd himself would sit in that doorway all night long watching his sheep. And anything that was going to try to harm the sheep and anything that was going to try to attack the sheep had to come through that opening first. They had to come through the door. And what Jesus is telling his disciples is, anything that is going to come attack my sheep has to go through me first. There's no way it's going to touch you if it doesn't go through me first. I am the door. I am the protection for my sheep. You are safe as long as you are in my fold. Nothing can attack you that has not first attacked Jesus. But you might say, then why have I been under such attack? I mean, I've had some rough things happen to me in my life. Why do so many bad things happen to me? Why have I been under such attack? And I'll be honest with you, I don't have all the answers to life. I don't have all the answers to why things happen, but I do know this. I know this. If something hurts you, it hurt Jesus a lot more. And if something even were to end your life, it did on Jesus' life. There is nothing that can touch you that has not already gone through Jesus, our door and our protector. And sometimes I think we're allowed to suffer in order to grow spiritually. James tells us, rejoice when you face trials. Rejoice when you face all kinds of trials and persecution, because it's during those times that we are growing as Christians and as believers and maturing in our faith. And also think about this. Often we look at the things that happen to us, but try to think about this. How many things do you suppose Jesus has protected you from that you don't even know about, that you're not even aware of? Things that came to the door, and he said, oh no, not today. You're not getting through this door. You're not hurting my sheep today. Makes you pretty grateful for the protection of the shepherd. The last thing that a shepherd does for his sheep is he sacrifices himself for the sheep. Jesus tells his disciples in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then in verse 15, he tells them, I lay down my life for the sheep. See, sometimes what the shepherds would do is they would hire a servant to go sit in that doorway and to go watch the sheep for the night so the shepherd could sleep. And so the hired servant would go out there and he's on duty to watch the sheep. And sometimes they wouldn't do their job very well. Maybe they would fall asleep. Maybe they're sitting in the corner playing on their iPad, not paying any attention. And a wolf would get in and start to attack the sheep. And Jesus said, well, what do you think that servant is going to do? Think he's going to stay and defend the sheep and fight for them? No way. He's going to run for his life. His life is in danger. And he doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't know their names. He's never tended to their wounds. He hasn't spent hours upon hours every day with them. All he cares about is his own life. Those sheep don't mean anything to him. But not the true shepherd. See, the true shepherd loves his sheep. He knows each one of them. He knows their personalities. He knows what they're like. He knows every scrape that every one of them has gotten, every broken leg that he's had to mend. And he is willing to give his life. He would sacrifice himself and he would die to protect his sheep. And Jesus tells his disciples, that's me. I am going to die. I'm going to give my life so that my sheep can live. As I was thinking about the sacrifice of a shepherd, at first I thought, well, it's kind of a bummer. Ezekiel 34 doesn't mention anything about sacrifice, a shepherd sacrificing himself. But then I read it again, and I noticed something in verse 23, Ezekiel 34, verse 23. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I read that and I thought, could it be that the shepherd would feed them himself, his own body? It carries with it the idea that the shepherd would sacrifice his own flesh and blood so that the sheep can live. Now, obviously, keep in mind, this is a prophecy about Jesus. It's not saying that there's any shepherd out there that's going to feed the sheep his own body. But this is a prophecy about Jesus. And Gill's exposition comments it like this. He shall feed them with himself, the bread of life, with his flesh and blood, which are meat and drink indeed. Jesus sacrificed his body to feed his sheep. And he tells us this in John chapter 6. He says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall never hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. And then the Jews started to quarrel among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They said, this guy's crazy. He's talking about us eating his body. He's nuts. And Jesus corrects them and says, "Truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate manna and died. He who eats this bread will live forever." Jesus is saying, I'm not telling you to eat my body. I am telling you that I'm sacrificing myself. I'm sacrificing my flesh and blood in order to feed you spiritually forever. You know, church, I'm amazed that I can sit down every day and read this book that I've read cover to cover a couple of times. And every day, I can feast upon the Lord Jesus. And I can be fed spiritually. There's a buffet. There's a table set for us to come feed upon and feast upon if we just would come to the table. And Jesus has given his body as the bread of life. That we can keep coming to the Word of God and be filled spiritually day after day. I know what Jesus talked about. You'll never hunger again, because you will never hunger again spiritually when you come and you partake of Jesus and you taste and see that he is good. So what need do you have of your shepherd today? It's Christmas time, right? Christmas is a time of giving. And God is definitely a giving God. He so loved the world that he gave his son to the world. And he gave his son to the world to be a shepherd. And as sheep, there are different times that we need our shepherd in different ways. And for some of you, maybe it's that you're a little lost. I want you to know that he's searching for you. He's chasing after you. You know that if you're not where you need to be with your shepherd, maybe you've wandered. Maybe you're hiding. He's searching for you. He's chasing after you. He's also calling to you. He's calling you by name. And he knows everything about you. He knows you intimately better than you know yourself. And he's calling to you. Are you in need? Do you have a practical need this morning? God's word promises that he will supply our needs according to his riches. Come to the shepherd and ask him to supply your needs. Are you hurt this morning? Do you need healing in some way, physically, emotionally? Come to the shepherd, because he cares. He does care. And he wants to heal, and he wants to soothe, and he wants to take you in his arms and nurse you back to health. Are you under attack this morning? Have you been facing attack from the enemy? Come to the shepherd. He protects his sheep. Are you hungry spiritually? Come to the shepherd. He gave his body so that we can feast forever, so that he can continue to feed us. Can I have you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning? I just wonder if there's any person here this morning that you need your shepherd in some way. In one of these ways, or maybe a couple of these ways, you need Jesus as your shepherd in one of these ways. Maybe some of you need healing. Maybe some of you need protection. Some of you need some providence. I want you to pray right now and come to Jesus as your shepherd and say, "Jesus, I come to you as your sheep, and I come to you as my shepherd right now. And Jesus, I'm asking you, as my shepherd, would you do this for me? Would you heal me? Would you tend to my wounds? Would you protect me? Would you feed me?" Whatever need it is right now that you have, would you come to Jesus as your shepherd and just share that with him? There's something so tender about a shepherd and his sheep. Because sheep are helpless on their own. They need the shepherd. And I think when we put that picture in our mind and we come to Jesus as our shepherd, we're admitting how truly weak we are and strengthless and need his help. If you're coming to Jesus as your shepherd this morning, would you just raise your hand as a sign right now that you're coming to Jesus as your shepherd? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to this earth to be our shepherd. And Lord, I thank you that you do all of these things for us, as a shepherd does for his sheep. I thank you that you never stop chasing after us. And Jesus, right now, I pray that the loved ones that we have and the people that we know in our lives that are not saved and that are not living for you, God, I pray that you would never stop chasing them down. Jesus, I pray that you would pursue after them relentlessly and that you would chase them down and that you would call to them, that you would summon them and that you would just yell in their ear and let them know that you are there and that you want them to join your fold and that you want them to return. Jesus, I pray that you would never stop chasing the lost. I pray, Lord, that you would never stop calling them. Lord, I pray for those that have needs this morning. Some people here might have some practical needs that they need met, and they don't know how they're going to be met. Jesus, as our shepherd, I pray that you would supply their needs, that you would supply out of the abundance of your riches every need that we have. Lord, I pray for those who are hurt this morning. Lord, those that need some physical healing, a physical touch in their body, I pray for healing. I pray for those who are sick, Lord, that you would just touch them, that you would be Dr. Jesus, that you'd be veterinarian Jesus this morning and tend to the needs of your sheep, and that you would touch those that need healing and bring healing, especially to those that need emotional healing. Lord, that you would just take them in your arms and let them know that you care about them and that you care about what they're feeling and you care about their hurts. Lord, I pray that you would bring healing in a miraculous way this morning. Lord, I pray for those who are under attack. Jesus, we pray as our shepherd that you would defend your sheep. We pray that you would defend this flock from the enemy and that you would fight off the enemy and that you would thwart off the evil that comes against this church and against these sheep. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would rise up and protect your sheep as we place ourselves under your protection as our shepherd. And Lord, for those that are hungry this morning, I pray, Lord, that as they go to the Word, that the Word will come alive in new ways. Lord, as your Word says, that their eyes would be open and they would understand the things that they're reading. God, I pray for a new freshness when people read their Bibles, that they would come to the table that is set, that they would come to the table that is ready for a feast, and that they would feast upon Jesus because you gave your body, you gave your life in order to continue to feed us spiritually forever. We come to you, Jesus, as our shepherd this morning. Thank you for being our Christmas shepherd. We pray that you continue to guide us and continue to lead us as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand? I thought as a prayer as we leave, could we just quote Psalm 23 together? Could we do that this morning? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You are dismissed.